Craft matters in small ways, like how coffee is made or how a wooden table is built piece by piece. And in not so small ways, like how your money is cared for. At UBS, we elevate investing to a craft. We deliver our services with passion, expertise, and meticulous attention to detail. This is what investing means to UBS. Not just work, but a craft. Discover more at ubs.com/craft. The value of investments may fall as well as rise, and you may not get back the amount originally invested.
Welcome to the New York Times podcast, your cannot forget the smoke of music news and criticism. I'm your host, John Caramonica.
Baby, welcome to the party. I'm off the money to Xanderlene. That's why I'm over retarded. Baby, welcome to the party. I hit the boy up and then I go skating a Rari. Baby, welcome to the party. What the? Give me lit. Gun on my head. One and a half. Ten in the clip. Baby. Baby, don't trip. Just lower your tone. Cause you can get hit. Don't let that be in my system. I get your body. Next day I forget it. Try to score the body. And listen again. I was just with him.
We are here again, unfortunately, as you guys certainly know. Pop Smoke, who is the Brooklyn rapper who had a tremendous 2019 and was poised to have a really big year this year, one of the foremost avatars of the drill scene in Brooklyn, was murdered about a week and a half ago in Los Angeles. We opened with Welcome to the Party, my number one song of 2019, and the official open car window in Brooklyn anthem of last summer, and probably last fall and last winter, too, for those of us who keep our car windows open during the winter. We've talked previously, actually just a few weeks ago, after Juice WRLD's death, about how frustrating this all is, and it doesn't remain any less frustrating, but Pop Smoke achieved a lot in a very short period of time, and so I want to take this episode of Popcast and honor his life, celebrate what he did. Those of you who pay attention know there's only one person I can call to join in, Alphonse Pierre. Al, what's good?
How you doing? Thanks for having me.
Of course. Al is a staff writer at Pitchfork and Brooklyn Drill archivist, amongst other things. So, Al, obviously we opened Welcome to the Party, and when that was a big breakthrough, that's the first that people heard of Pop, that a lot of people had heard of Pop, but he had actually been putting out records for at least 6 or 8 months prior to that. So talk to me a little bit about the Brooklyn scene, the drill scene that was kind of already congealing and that he arrived into.
Yeah, well, that Brooklyn scene that Pop emerged in was something that started around 2016, 2017 is when it began to like pop off.
Yep.
And it was a style adopted from Chicago. And during that time, it was more of like a copy of the scene Chicago had in the early 2010s with Chief Keef, G Herbo, and all those rappers. But it began to change somewhat at the end of 2017, the middle of 2017, because I remember in August of 2017, I wrote a piece for Noisy, and it was documenting the Brooklyn drill scene that was emerging. And a lot of people kind of thought of it as a gimmick at the time, just that people didn't really take it seriously. It's just like, oh, Brooklyn lost itself.
And also, like, drill as a concept had sort of been refracted a couple times, because you obviously had Chicago as kind of the foundation, but then you had a whole British scene that was happening, and then some of what was happening in New York was maybe kind of pulling from that, and I think people were sort of like, well, that seems unusual.
I think the drill style just became something that was easy for people to relate to. And it was easy for them to make it their own. And so that's what happened in the UK. They made it into like their own style, became their UK drill is basically its own thing now. And that was beginning to happen in Brooklyn around 2017,
right,
where there were records like Tutu G's Suburban,
yep,
Chef G's Response, and No
right,
Suburban.
Right.
And there were a couple like loose rappers, like the Blicky rappers that were popping up around then. But still, it was kind of, as it went into 2018, the scene really wasn't taking off the way people thought it should. 2G's ended up signing to like Kodak Black's like Sniper Gang. And the music kind of wasn't what people expected it to be at the level expected it to be. And Chef G kind of, he released a couple of big records like the Panic series, but he also went on a hiatus where he just wasn't releasing music and people didn't know why. And so at the time, a lot of people thought that the Brooklyn drill scene was maybe had peaked already, maybe it peaked with Suburban and No Suburban.
Right. And which then, would have been like any number of regional micro scenes. I mean, this is a thing that I think we've sort of lost sight of in the current internet moment, which is that we now understand and expect that like an arbitrary thing that happens in a random place can all of a sudden become the most important thing on the planet. We understand that. But prior to that, there were plenty of regional micro scenes that were popping in for a narrow period of time or in a narrow location. And that was that.
Yeah, that happens all the time.
Yeah, exactly. And Brooklyn Drill, for a moment, seemed like that was the summation of it. The up and the down had already come.
Yeah, it kind of felt like it was almost like dying out. And it wasn't until that like late 2018 moment where things began to change. And that's where Pop Smoke emerges in that weird quiet time for Brooklyn Drill.
Right.
And I remember the first time I saw Pop Smoke, wasn't even a song. The first time I saw him was a Mel's TV interview. And
Shout out Mel's TV, the crucial documentarian of the scene. Shout out Mel's TV.
He's basically like the Say Cheese of New York.
Right, exactly.
And I remember seeing this interview and people in the comments were like hyped about it. I had no idea I guess he was like a Canarsie rapper, had like Flossy untitled or whatever.
Right.
And people were just like hyped about him even though he didn't have any
records.
Music. Yeah. And then later in the year, I think the Mel's TV was in like November and then maybe a couple weeks later.
That's an NPR.
Yeah, NPR, like the remix of a Chef G song.
Right.
And that's a good song, but it's still a remix.
Right.
And so, but people were still like very into it.
We should play NPR because it really does have all the component parts of what would become kind of like Pop Smoke's signature sound. So let's listen to a little bit of NPR. I need that money, that power, respect. I need that money, that power, respect. I need that money, that power, respect. I need that money. I need that money, that power, respect. I need that money, that power, respect. Wait. It's big on that 2 MLBOA. Small Vito. Give two just like free throws. Pick up his shots, then reload. No, we don't with them people. On the block with a chopper, but just me and chopper. We're chilling with killers and scamming. Spin up the roll to the Asian and K to the rock. 3 million G's out to slimming. Ocean 30, yeah, I play with that steel construction. I play with that hammer. I don't play disrespect. Real watch what you say. My 30 ain't never jamming. 808, 808. Shoot, then I get away. Then I go stay in the GLA. Sell away. Brody got luck, but he out cause he pullin' that bill away. Tell away. No, I can't book you today, so you know that I tell away. Heaven gates. I'm trying to set in the heaven gates. I need that money, that power, respect. I need that money, that power, respect. I need that. So NPR, you know, I remember the video for NPR. It's like a very good classic. Dudes, like 100 dudes in a kitchen.
Yeah.
Just wilding, having a great time.
The basics, you know?
Exactly. Just the starter kit. But the thing about NPR besides that is the tone of the voice. And I feel like later in his career, like Pop Smoke really leaned into the tone of the voice even harder. But just on this relatively casual song, you heard something that, like, frankly, you had not heard in quite some time, certainly coming from a New York rapper.
His voice was just like so deep, and it was almost like it's like a voice that if you put on around somebody else, they would look at you and be like, what the hell are you playing right now? Like,
right.
Like everybody just like stops in their tracks and just like kind of just like looks around.
Yep.
You really didn't feel like that listening to any other Brooklyn drill artists. And so even as he went on, like in the next month or two, he released like Flexing and Meet the Woo. And those songs are just like a step up from NPR, like original songs, like. And there you would start to see that traces of the UK drill in the production. And that was something that hadn't really been touched that much because a lot of the production before that was very based in like DJL, like Young Chop, like Chicago drill.
Right.
And so Pop went out and there were UK drill producers that were already producing for the Brooklyn drill rappers.
Isn't NPR, isn't that an Axl or an 808 beat?
It might be Axl. But Axl produced like Suburban and No Suburban. Yep. But Axl was still at that time more influenced by Chicago instead of looking at the UK drill scene. That's why they liked him because he sounded like
them. The people they'd grown up on.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we should say in the same way that like if you were like an internet focused rapper in the 2010s, like Soulja Boy is like somewhere hovering in the kind of like in the back. It's like it's part of the origin story.
Yeah.
Chief Keef, for obviously drill rappers and sort of rappers of all stripes, but Chief Keef is an incredibly important figure in terms of the long tail of his influence. We don't really think a lot about current Chief Keef music. I don't, David Drake's going to send me an email. But like, you know, we don't think about it quite as much. Yeah. But in terms of who grew up listening to Chief Keef and like what they went on to do, you can't deny that influence.
Yeah, Chief Keef. And even in New York, like G Herbo is like almost as important, if not more, in New York, just because of his rapping style, which is almost just like, is more like traditional.
Yeah, it's like an East Coast rap style.
Yeah. And so it's a style that a lot of people picked up. And if you go back to like a lot of the early drill, a lot of the complaints are, why do you sound like G Herbo? And so that's what a lot of the music was like until that point. And I remember when Meet the Woo and Flexin' came out, they were like doing numbers on YouTube, like people in like Brooklyn were gravitating to them. And it still was like, okay, what's next after this? And I remember I was doing a profile on Chef G at the time. It was like early in the year. And we were talking about just like Brooklyn drill music, like what's going on with it. And all he could talk about was just like Pop Smoke is like, I think he's about to do something. Like Chef G just kept talking about it. And Pop Smoke was definitely, I think him and Chef G are the same age, but Pop Smoke is definitely like influenced by Chef G, just like that connection in a way. And so that was like when I really noticed like this was something was about to happen.
Pop Smoke, you know, I interviewed him last year. He may have been rapping here and there when he was younger, but I don't get the sense he really took it seriously until mid-2018. And if I'm not mistaken, at least part of that, you know, he had an ankle bracelet off of a weapons charge. I think he like kind of couldn't go. I think he just sort of was like watching a lot of YouTube and was like, I'll give it a try, basically.
Yeah, he was just like, he just saw what was happening and just like jumped in.
Right. And that's why he could be influenced by someone who was the same age, but who basically was 1 to 2 years more established.
They're probably just around Brooklyn hearing Chef G's voice everywhere when No Suburban came out and the Panic songs.
Exactly.
And so I think he just gravitated to that.
So Meet the Woo, let's play a little bit of Meet the Woo. Burn. I promise it's gonna be a murder. If I catch him, I hurt him. Slide him, I murk him. Look at that bullet, get nervous. I got one thing for sure, I got two things for certain. Wrap that boy up in the curtain. Touching. I dropped 38 on this touching. I made it flip on this up. I turn that boy to a thumping. Bullman. True blue. Ocean. Mystery. Potion. Back up. Toaster. Pass him up. Runner. Over. 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 Baby girl, come and meet the wolf. She know we keep it too. Big knocking on my butt. Watch who you speaking to. Baby girl, come and meet the wolf. Big knocking on my butt. So Meet the Woo ends up becoming the name of the first mixtape and the first song on the mixtape. Let's talk about his voice. I know we kind of touched on it a little bit. When I was speaking to him, he was talking about Lloyd Banks, DMX. It is not a stretch to say that if you were to identify an emblematic New York rap voice of, say, 2017 or 18, it would not sound like Pop Smoke. It would sound like A Boogie or Lil TJ.
Yeah.
And Pop Smoke to me really felt like a course correction, and a course correction not just against that stuff, even though he claimed to like that stuff and he obviously has worked with TJ, but a course correction against the kind of like post-Drake, melodist, rapper, singer, etc. The groundedness of the voice, the thickness of it, like the viscosity of it, just were so striking. And as someone that like grew up on rap music that sounded way more like this than what's been going on the last 10 years, you know, like I'm grateful for everything that's happened in the last 10 years, but like this really struck for me like some kind of like primal inner thing where it's like remembering like a deep-held childhood memory, you know? How did the voice speak to you? What did you think about it?
I know when I first started playing it around people, a lot of people would just say, like, the comparison would always be like 50 Cent, especially when you got into like some of like the later like things he would release. Yeah. But that was really one of the first comparisons that I heard. And it was the way like that no matter what he was talking, like 50 Cent would always, even if he was talking about like being in love or something like that,
yeah,
it would still almost sound like menacing just with that voice that's so deep. And
also like the pacing of the syllables, like there's nothing sensitive about how 50 Cent paces his syllables. Like even love songs like are kind of like, they have like a little like tough stutter to them.
Yeah.
So yeah, I feel you.
So it's really like a voice that just like puts you back when you hear it. And especially what we were talking about before, like comparing it to like the others in that drill scene, like some of them were like Chef G has a deep voice too. But when you like compare them side by side.
Yeah, they're like it, nothing. Yeah,
it makes Chef G sound like he's a boogie or something.
And also, like, Chef G, look, in this, like, if you're like sort of like organizing people by like their rappiness, like Chef G is like more of a rapper than Pop Smoke was, in like from a technical perspective.
Yeah, definitely. You could tell like Chef G like grew up watching like Meek Mill freestyles or something like
absolutely.
That. Like Chef G is like a rapper.
And Pop Smoke is not that. And I think because he's not that, the voice, even though it was already so distinctive, it actually becomes the central focus of what Pop Smoke. So his like primary value proposition is like that kind of like complete guttural gravelly thing. And it's nice that he said, like, when you listen to like Dior, for example, Dior is like maybe my like least favorite Pop Smoke hit. And yet it goes. But like when I like look, you look at Dior on paper, like you look at the words, you're just like, what? Like what?
But, yeah, like the best part of Dior is just like when he's just in the beginning, he's just like woo, woo.
Yes,
just,
exactly.
He's not really saying like anything at all.
Right.
But it's that voice. That's the whole appeal, just the way he says words.
Yeah. He knew it. That's the thing that I was really struck by, is I think he had a really healthy understanding of kind of the power of that tone. And I think that's why you see on Meet the Woo, and to a slightly lesser degree, I think on Meet the Woo too, him really, really like underscoring, highlighting, circling that tone.
He would repeat lines a lot. A lot of the brands he would mention were, it would be the same brand every single time. Dior,
Amiri.
And it wouldn't matter because that's not why you're coming there. You're coming there to hear him say these words in that voice.
Yeah. And the feeling that it evokes in him and by extension in you.
Yeah.
So I was listening back to Meet the Woo last week. And I feel like I really liked it at the time. I feel like it really holds up well. What did you think of that tape?
I think it's a really good tape. It's like pretty consistent. Like the complaint some people had was that it sounds the same, but that's part of
that's
like
the thing.
That's part of the sound. That is the sound. Like Pop Smoke's not going to come out, even though he towards the end he was starting to
and
veer into different territories.
Yeah.
But at the beginning, it was just like, I'm making straight drill records and I want any of these songs could be a hit.
It reminds me a little bit of peak era. And by peak era, I mean like, let's say 97, No Limit. You listen to one of those No Limit, like whether it's a Master P record or a Silk the Shocker record or one of like the sub, like, you know, like a Fiend record or a Big Ed the Assassinator or whatever.
Yeah.
All the records, like they sound alike. Beats by the Pound, KLC, all those producers. It's not that they weren't highly musical. It's not that they didn't have like a big arsenal to draw from. It's not like the flows weren't varying, but there is a kind of thorough consistency on those records that by that point in the mid to late 90s, especially, that New York rappers were starting to move away from because of Puff, because of radio crossover, because of the opportunities that were presenting themselves to guys like Biggie and Jay-Z. So this record really reminds me of a record that kind of like predates that. And because of that, in the internet climate of 2020, this now doesn't have to change very much to cross. It could just go.
And it's all pretty concise.
Yeah.
It's not a long mixtape at all. It's all short. It's to the point. Even the tracks, they're just like 2.5-3 minutes.
Yeah.
Just based around hooks. And I think people, like I definitely really gravitated to that. It's easy to listen to, even though like what he's talking about is heavy and his voice is heavy.
Yeah.
But it's just like a really easy, quick listen. And when you're finished listening to it, you'll probably just listen to it again.
Absolutely. You know, so you were saying some of the subject matter is tough. Like we should listen to probably my second favorite track on it, which is PTSD.
Cold Dre, that's a new Tom Brady. Cause he be sending shots like his mission. My PTSD stone to kick it, so I gotta get hot. Trey shot that guy with my car, so now I gotta get low. I ain't no city boy, cause I love my bitch. Wake up, but that don't mean that I don't love my hoe. Niggas try to smack me up, so now I'm raising hell. Don't try and damn me, love. You are not my bro. Trey shot that guy with my car, so now I gotta get low. They ain't know we bang blocks, so welcome to the ball. So we still can't hide and run anymore.
There's something undefinable that beckons travelers back to the greater Fort Myers area in southwest Florida year after year. It feels like bare feet on soft white sand beaches that give way to gently lapping waves. It looks like the breathtaking abundance of wildlife, colorful birds, dolphins, manatees, and more, dwelling in lush mangrove ecosystems and translucent Gulf waters. It tastes like fresh coastal cuisine served at sunset at a waterfront restaurant. What will draw you back to Fort Myers? Go to visitfortmyers.com for more inspiration.
I'm Julie Turkowitz. I'm a reporter at the New York Times. I have been trying to understand changes in migration. So I traveled with photographer Federico Rios to the Darien Gap, this hot, mountainous, 70-mile stretch of jungle straddling the border of Colombia and Panama.
We're hiking through a river. Just like covered in mud.
Many used to think that this route was impassable, but thousands have been risking their lives to pass through the Darien, almost all in the hopes of making it to the United States. We spent 9 days hiking through the gap and weeks building trust and relationships with migrants, with smugglers, with migration authorities to even be able to do this reporting. We interviewed hundreds of people who have made this journey to try and grasp what's making them go to these lengths to find a new life. New York Times journalists spend time in these places to help you understand what's really happening there. You can support this kind of journalism by subscribing to the New York Times.
Lest you think that PTSD is a top-to-bottom song about how hard it is to grapple with difficult circumstances, much of it is about creating difficult circumstances. So we want to at least be frank about that. But the darkness, the melancholy of this hook, I found like incredibly moving. It's a record that I feel like when I would talk to like real heads, they would be like, that's the one. Like they understood like the kind of like combining his texture, his approach, his rawness with this kind of like emotional content, self-reflection, that really got to a lot of people. Do you have a song on Meet the Woo that is not the main hits that really jumps out at you?
PTSD is definitely towards the top. Just the way he like kind of blends in almost like a weird melody with that voice without losing that voice and without veering too far. But the mixtape is just so consistent. Like, you could literally play anything off that. You play, like, Hawkum, anything.
Better Have Your Gun is...
Yeah.
Just, it's like a flawless song. It's so good.
Everything on there just hits kind of in the same way, but not in, like, a way that where you're like, oh, I'm tired of it by the end. But it's almost just like you wanted more. And he kind of left you wanting more after that first mixtape, too.
It's funny because, like, even though this comparison doesn't make sense vocally, who Pop Smoke really reminded me a lot of was M.O.P. There's like a consistent energy, and obviously what M.O.P. were doing, the way they were rapping, the vocal tone, the kind of like high pitch, like shaking you up. That's not really what Pop Smoke does, but that kind of like, we're going to put out an album and it's like 14 tracks and they're all mayhem, like all of it is mayhem.
Yeah.
That's how Meet the Woo strike me.
Even like the big hits, I remember when they first came out, I was just like, how can these play on the radio?
Yeah,
like,
of course.
I just couldn't picture them in that setting.
Yeah.
Like even like the hook to Welcome to the Party, I'm like, can they even play this on the radio?
Yeah. And also like I remember when I first heard Welcome to the Party on the radio on Hot 97, I felt the same way for different reasons that I felt the first time I heard Peso on the radio. Because at the time, Peso was so different in obviously the completely opposite direction. I remember where I was. I was like covering some show at Nassau Coliseum. I was like driving out on Long Island Expressway. I just pulled off the highway and I hear Peso and I like pulled into like some fast food parking lot. It was like filming the radio on my phone. Oh man. Those are the days. I felt very similar when you heard this, but in a totally different like, are they getting away with it? Like, what is happening here?
Like, it's surreal hearing, like, somebody like Funk Flex come and, like, drop bombs on, like, drill music, especially for Brooklyn where drill almost kind of just existed exclusively on YouTube. Just nobody was really paying attention to it. And now right. Funk Flex is there like, but I'm like, oh, yeah, this is the next thing. Pop Smoke.
Hello to Funk Flex, occasional podcast listener. And also, you know, I've heard it on L.A. radio. I've heard it on Nashville radio. I've heard it in Texas. Like, it's like you'd think, especially when it's something that we think of as so regionally specific, and it's just like you go to L.A. and it's like it's just a rap song.
Yeah.
And it, which is, it's not, but it's so strange to hear it in that context. Just be like, well, it's just a rap song.
Especially that part you were talking about, like regional. I guess that's what's special about hip hop, that everything is still so regional and that it could still cross over. And it still means so much to that Brooklyn community that it comes from.
Yeah.
But it's also playing everywhere.
There were these inch size movements that Pop was making towards slightly more melodic records. And he played me when I did the interview last year, like he played me something that I'm trying to remember might have even been like the sketch. No, I don't think it's on this record. I think maybe, I don't want to like speak out of turn, but maybe it was like with Tory Lanez or something. Like it was like something that was like in that mold. And you hear some of this on Meet the Woo too. Like you hear him moving in that direction, which like, if I'm being honest, I wasn't totally thrilled about, but like, you know, I'm just for 35 years been one of those rap fans who's just like,
you want the bars?
Yeah. Just like, don't, you know, you don't have to do all that. What did you feel about Meet the Woo 2, like sort of as compared to the original?
It's definitely lesser than the original.
Yeah.
Like the original, I think, is going to go down as like a classic absolutely. New York mixtape.
Yeah, like top 10, top 15 New York tape.
I think the second one was mostly, it came out pretty fast compared, because he was getting bigger almost every week regardless, where he didn't even need to drop that mixtape.
Yeah.
It was almost just like a way for him to test out some new things.
Yeah.
And I remember before he dropped the mixtape, he dropped that song with Off the Jack Boys with Travis Scott.
The Gatti record.
Yeah. And that was like basically him like announcing going in this new direction where he's kind of just like opening up his sound to almost in that Travis Scott lane where it's just like, where it's just like, it's big and it's almost made for like festivals and it could play anywhere.
Let's listen to Gatti. That's Pop Smoke and Travis Scott off of the Jack Boys record.
Spraying they jewels. Yeah. Ain't expecting this one.
Facts. My love. Coco. Woo-back, baby. Woo-back, baby. Woo! Yeah. Let me see some. Okay, okay. Okay, okay. Look. You cannot say pop and forget the smoke. I'm from the floors with the toe. They couldn't be cribs, so they turn full. Driving through the veil, dropping a joke. I gotta laugh to deep jokes. Drill like Hootie. I don't know, but I'm gonna go. And I'm in that Bugatti, moving 200, giving pucks like who shot you? Me and Trey, that's full choppers, made down.
We're gonna talk in a little bit about some other things that have been happening with Brooklyn Drill, but Gatti basically jacked the beat from a Smooth L record.
Smooth L, New Apollo.
Right. So we'll talk about the New Apollos, the crisis of New Apollos in a little bit. I sort of have like a kind of like singular disregard for Travis and his relationship to rapping.
Yeah.
You know, it's like an ongoing frustration. So like, this is not my favorite direction for someone like Pop to go in. Travis has been successful by basically being so like kind of like soft edged and almost like weirdly like non-specific.
Yeah.
And Pop's work is so specific. So it sort of was not my favorite thing to hear him go in this direction.
It's a weird blend to hear. And especially in that song that Pop is basically doing his thing. And then you have Travis Scott adding in his like auto-tune ad-libs, like, you know, the usual Travis Scott flair. And it's a weird
it's a weird
mix.
Sorry.
it's good.
Do you not just do this in the middle of your workday? You don't just scream out it's lit in the middle of
never.
Okay, I'm sorry. You got pitch for it. You got to work on that. You need like an ad, just like a time during the day.
Serious journalist.
Yeah, that's right. Just ask around. Ask about me.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there is some of this on Meet the Woo 2, and we should play Mannequin with TJ. Let's play a little bit of Mannequin. This is Pop Smoke and Lil TJ.
Look, Dior my body. Head to toe like a mannequin. A Mary Denham's got the panicking. I vote for my Phantom. If my opps in a foreign, then we shooting up the Phantom. Dior my body.
toe like a mannequin. A Mary Denham's got the pinnacle. I pull a fool in my phantom. If my opps in a foreign, then we shooting up the phantom. Big Louboutin for the stepping, big for the weapon. And I catch a case for none, I back the race for none. Guess I'm up, Getty. Rock steady, rock steady. Shots, it's your belly. Rush pack, got me daddy.
Tax, Chevy, swing a BOA, we ready. RIP the fallen soldiers, screaming free my money. Got it deep under my mind.
So I remember asking Pop in the interview, I was sort of like, essentially, like, what do you think of guys like A Boogie and Lil TJ who have like a completely different idea about what like New York music sounds like and melody, and they're very sweet toned and you're very tough toned. And, you know, an interesting thing about, I think, rappers of this generation as opposed to like people in the 90s who were like so busy like protecting their turf, and they're just like, oh, if you don't do what I do, like, it's terrible.
Yeah.
He had like no kind of like anxiety about it. I think he was just like, also like, I've been doing this for like 9 months. Like, I'm not going to come show up and just be like, all this is terrible.
A lot of those different type of rappers, especially in New York, coexist pretty well.
Yeah.
Like, even if you go to Brooklyn, there's like tons of rappers in that little TJ lane, like, you got like Jay Guapo.
And yes.
When you get into that side of things, and they coexist with like the real harder drill rappers fine, and nobody really seems to prefer any over the other.
Right. Meet the Wu-Tu was, I think you're right, sort of like they were like trial balloons.
Yeah.
For places he could have gone. Obviously, Christopher Walking, you know, it's a tremendous record.
I think that's the song on there that works the best, even with like the little ad-libs that he adds in there. But of all the songs on Meet the Wu-Tu, that's the one.
Let's hear a little bit of Christopher Walking and just kind of like, let's bathe in it for a minute.
You're saying the outside. You're saying the outside. Send the addy, we gon' slide. Air it out when we arrive. Popping that, but they done with the smoke. She like it rough when we, so I'm grabbing that for the throat. You're saying the outside. Send the addy, we gon' slide. Just cause I dance, don't think I'm, don't make me pull up with the stick. I got a Louis V bag to match with the fit. VVS was on my wrist. All this water on me, I got water for me and my, me and my, drowning, flooded. They told me the price, I said, I spent it all with no budget. If it ain't 100, I ain't budging. Are you dumb? I made like 200 in London. You out here guessing these, did you pump it up like you butted? If I see an op, I'ma throw out the car. I'm at the crib with your, she came with a dress, she left with no drawers.
So Pop Smoke is from Canarsie, and Al's also from Canarsie.
Yes.
I went to elementary school in Canarsie, and I said that to Pop Smoke, and he laughed. And I don't think he believed me, but I did. I went to PS114. Let's talk about, broadly speaking, kind of that scene as it was developing. Obviously, you know, Pop had some criminal issues. You know, if you Google around, you can find out all the stuff. We're not going to walk you down that road right here. But I was very struck with how intensely Brooklyn took to him, how quickly Brooklyn took to him, and how, you know, to touch on what you had said at the beginning of the conversation, this idea of drill that had maybe been diffuse, maybe was just like half cooked, all of a sudden became incredibly fixed with him. How did that strike you?
Okay, it came from Canarsie, which is like a neighborhood in Brooklyn that's kind of almost like the boondocks to Brooklyn.
Yeah.
It's hard to get to. It's kind of closed off.
There's only the far south, well, far east to east southeast corner.
There's pretty much only one train that goes there, the L train. And that stop is like at the edge of Canarsie. If you're in Canarsie, you really don't leave Canarsie. And so
you don't even go to Starrett City?
I imagine Pop Smoke was just like out there on flatlands. And so for somebody to come out of Canarsie was definitely a change, because even like some of the other rappers, like Chef G came from like Flatbush, and that's where you would really expect more of the rappers to come from.
Right.
And there's like a pride about Canarsie. Like They call themselves the Flossy. Yep. They have like a real like chip on their shoulder compared to the rest of Brooklyn. And so to even go back into Canarsie, it's like a big like West Indian neighborhood, yep. like a lot of like Haitians, Jamaicans. Mm-hmm.
That's, I would say, in the last 15 years. It was very, you know, when I was growing up, it was pretty Italian, similar like Mill Basin, like all those like Eastern Brooklyn neighborhoods. Like Mill Basin is much more Caribbean now. Like it's just been a lot of turnover in those communities. I feel like, is that like stuff that's kind of like migrating out from Flatbush, or is it just like new populations, like new folks coming in?
I think it's a little bit of both. I remember my parents told me they moved there in like the 90s. They said that there was still like a lot of like white people there when they were moving to Canarsie. If you go to Canarsie now, all you see is a bunch of Jamaican, Haitian restaurants. It's pretty much just like all West Indian culture there.
And Pop is Jamaican and Panamanian.
Panamanian. And so that's like another connection that he has to a lot of Brooklyn kids that like even Chef G, I think he's Trinidadian and I forget what else he is. And that's another added element to the connection he had to all those New York kids. And before I was talking about the pride that people from Canarsie have.
Yeah.
And I think when you go to that first Mel's TV video, they like make sure to make note of it in the title because that was like the part of the appeal.
It's a sales pitch, yeah. When I spent time with him last summer, you know, his mom still lived. I can't remember the block and I won't say the block, but his mom still lived out there. You know, a bunch of his friends still lived out there. Like a lot of times you interview someone and they're from somewhere and then they don't want to take you back there because they either can't go back or they don't want to go back or they're grateful to not be there. He was not like that at all. When we went to the basketball tournament, like the Flossy something basketball tournament. It's like, he really just was like, I'm probably going to be most comfortable here, you know, even though I'm driving an absurdly expensive car and I would much rather be here. And like whatever friction there may have been with street stuff, like none of that was like in obvious display. And like even the cops were nice to him. You know, it was one of those things where cops were like giving him a hard time, like, oh, you blowing up. And he's like, shut up, man. Like, so it was just like it was good to see that he still felt like he was part of that space and could be part of that space. And like, it was going to continue to embrace him because that's not always the case, as you know. So I want to talk a little bit about Drill bigger picture because, you know, when Juice WRLD passed and it's sort of like the end of like Peep dying and X dying, and you start to think like, well, those are the three people who could have carried this sound into the mainstream or were carrying into the mainstream. And what does that mean for the sound? Definitely a bunch of people on Twitter tried to tell me that plenty of other people could carry it into the mainstream, but like, who's to say? But there's a lot of things happening in Drill and that have been happening, so I feel like we should run through a few of the other kind of key players.
Yeah.
We've been talking a lot about Chef G. We should play No Suburban, which to me is maybe, even though it's a response to the 2-2-G's record, like maybe is like the bigger or more defining record of that era.
Maybe at the time it wasn't, but it definitely over the years has become
like the standard bearer. Yeah.
That's like the foundation almost of the modern Brooklyn drill.
Yeah. So let's listen to No Suburban by Chef G.
Better recognize who you're dealing with. Run up, gon' be a death. Leave a blinky looking all sticky, drippy, paramedics looking for his chest. Catch him tired cause you know them blinky, squeaky, stupid nigga running Rick the best. Think they're hiding all behind they stick with Queenie, stupid, that's a scarf, it's not a vest. Give him 2-3 shots, walk up on a point blank, hollow chrome's gold. 2-2-3 shots, I ain't even had the aim, Randy Moore's throw. Watch you switch with the flow, heard him talking, looking, cause a show. Watch him take a bro.
So, as we were saying earlier, Chef G is like a rapper. And No Suburban, it's interesting because a lot of the sonic things that end up becoming drill standards are sort of like in this record partially. But if you are approaching No Suburban with the ear of someone who has listened to New York rap for 25, 30 years, you're hearing the rapping more than you're hearing the particularities of the production. And I remember when I first heard No Suburban, I almost didn't notice what was happening in the beat. And only kind of in retrospect, going back to it like a year later, I was like, oh, here's some of the formative stuff.
That's part of what made Chef G pop at first, is because he really was just like a traditional New York rapper.
Yeah.
He's bars first. He's like a writer. And I feel like that's something that has even carried him into 2020. I think last year he dropped a mixtape called The Unlucky Lucky Kid. And That mixtape is actually a pretty big diversion from like the drill
sound,
the
right?
Drill
the
roots.
Dominant sound, yeah.
It's a lot of like soft pianos and like acoustic guitars and almost just like this like weird like melodic.
You mean a future record? No, I'm just
playing. It's almost like this weird melodic thing. Like you could tell he was probably like listening to like a lot of like No Cap or something like that. And it's still focused on that writing and it's still focused on making sure even though he's somewhat singing that he's getting these bars off. Mm-hmm. And I feel that's the appeal of Chef G there.
Okay, so there's, I think it's an IG Live right after Pop died. I think it's Fabio Forens. And he was talking like, he was basically like, it's sad. Like everybody's talking about who's next, which is of course a terrible way to think of these things.
Yeah.
I think from personal level, like, I don't think you can replicate what Pop Smoke did. I think if anybody from this scene has success, it's going to be kind of on a different set of terms than what Pop Smoke had established. And I think what's striking about the other rappers who are seeing a little bit of success is they're all different. They all do different things. They're different variations on the same idea. What's unifying a lot of them is the production.
Yeah.
But in terms of what they're doing on the production, it feels pretty different.
I think that seems fair because they're all... Because the style is somewhat progressing. Like, we could go to Smooth L.
Yep.
Who's another one. He has a big record in New York called New Apollos.
Mm-hmm.
And he has a couple other records that are, like, picking up steam.
Yep.
And he's more in that sing-rapping vein.
Yes.
And it's weird because...
He also has a very clean fade.
he does. And in every song, he does this thing where he goes, like, ooh-ah. And it's... It's not quite to the lengths of like where somebody like A Boogie is going, where he's singing like these like heartfelt anthems, but it's also somewhere in the middle.
And he dances, like, even if you look at the videos, like, he like toughness is not his kind of like primary thing.
Yeah.
He's like loose with his body. He's like maybe even like a little bit self-aware and funny. I saw him at SOB's last night and it was like an old SOB show. It's like kind of like a Tramps energy almost, like, very New York. It was not the type of SOB show where you're like, people are, I'm curious about this artist, so I'll just like go check it out. Like, it's not like that at all. It's just like super serving like the thousand or, I mean, not that a thousand people fit in that room, but like the 300 or 400 people who are most excited, almost like anxiously turned up by Smooth L and like what Smooth L does.
Yeah.
So that was good to see because it still felt like as big as Pop Smoke had gotten, there was something still local about this. Like, it still felt, and New Apollos, as we were saying, so that beat originally, that's originally the Smooth L beat that becomes the Gatti beat.
Yeah.
Do we know how that happened? Have we figured that out yet?
I saw Smooth L make like an Instagram post where he was just like, oh, it was just a misunderstanding. Like, I'm sure it was just something where the beat was just like leased out.
Of course.
And into all those things were about leasing and buying beats.
Yes.
And how I'm sure if Travis Scott comes with like a bag of cash.
Right. And
the producer's like, here you go.
Apologies to everybody who has leased this beat.
Yeah.
Let's listen to New Apollos. Later renamed Apollo with two L's, but the original one, only one L.
Yeah.
Oh, 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 ah. Oh, oh, ah.
Let's go.
Yeah.
Oh, baby.
Baby.
Let's. One more time.
Go.
If you keep running you down, put your phone D&D and pay him no mind. This really listen to me and it's so sad. I lost the line. But I want the. I like you touch me just don't get close to my nine. Yeah. Cause Subi's on. I'm feeling wavy as ever.
Wavy as ever.
If you do me wrong, I'ma move on to the better. Yeah, and I'm paranoid, so I just hold on my Beretta. This dear little baddie told the to add me this now or never. Yeah, and we met at New Apollos. And she f***ed me for a ride. Yeah, and I'm turned in the spot. If you get to acting stupid, I'ma get the shoot and watch his body drop. This night, it won't never end. I can't take a L, all I do is win. This whole she just funded on me now, I'm mad. I'm about to go try up on her best friend.
So for that beat specifically, also, I much prefer the Smooth L song to the Travis song.
Yeah.
And I agree in the sense that there is something... I mean, again, we've just spent like 40 minutes talking about a rapper who kind of like quote unquote crossed over without really changing very much about himself. But there is kind of something fundamentally more, the approach of Smooth L is like much more diverse. He can fit seamlessly into like more different spaces than I think what Pop Smoke was doing. So it'll be interesting to see if people really gravitate to it. And I think 2020, which is the newest single,
yeah,
it seems like it's like a more polished New Apollos. Like I can see it going.
I'm not 100% sold on it, I feel like. He's still like balancing the two. Like there will be tracks where he's just like, he sounds like a typical drill rapper, and there'll be tracks where he's straight up singing. And I feel like he's still trying to find the balance. And I feel like New Apollos is like the perfect balance right there.
You don't want to listen to Palm Angels?
I kind of like Palm Angels.
I struggled with it, but like it's funny. It's kind of funny.
I'm all for Palm Angels references right now. That's just my thing right now.
Oh my God. Palm Angels, poor man Amiri. Okay, let's listen to Palm Angels just because I would like to have a laugh at this part, at this moment in this episode. So let's listen to Palm Angels by Smooth L.
Yeah, oh my God. She rocking palm, she rocking angels. I feel like she matched my flop. She ready to mingle. I'm ready to give her hugs. I'm ready to give a kiss. I'm ready to give her love. I'm on him. Got the dropper, we get up on him. Yeah, do the dash 150 on him. Yeah, we get big high. I need all the marijuana. Yeah, she look fly. I think that a nigga want her. She rockin' palm. No cap, I'm on her, but I gotta find out this history. See if she was a, was she give a top? She got body, she ain't meant for me. Claiming she innocent, but I witnessed this. A bitch love, but she doing me. Know how these be. They be f***ing me, Paul John, and a nigga down the street. But I don't care, I'ma still hit. Only thing we can't have no relationship. Give a d***, not like how she taking it. I'ma run up the money, no faking it. No. We cannot take no photos. This is why I don't well, yeah. You tweaking. If you think she ain't cheating, that message you looking for, you achieved it. You dummy. This ain't funny. Yeah, she f***ing another. Why you giving her money? She rocking palm, she rocking angels. I feel like she matched my flop. She ready to mingle. I'm ready to give a, I'm ready to give her hugs. I'm ready to give a kiss. I'm ready to give her love. I'm on him. Got the dropper, we get up on him. Yeah, do the dash 150 on him. Yeah, get big high. I need all the marijuana. Yeah, she look fly. I think that a nigga want her. She rockin' palm. If you think you're home being faithful right now, I'ma tell you right now. No, I'll put you with the fours.
We should also talk about Fabio Foreign.
Yes.
Sarah Snyder, Hive, Assemble. If you know, you know. So at Rolling Loud, the New York edition in October, the songs that you heard the most were from the DJs, Welcome to the Party, from Pop Smoke, who was not allowed to perform because of the NYPD. And Big Drip by Fabio Foreign, who was not on the bill, but yet somehow managed to perform that song three different times that I saw.
Yeah,
I saw
him come out, was it during Juice WRLD set?
I think Juice WRLD, but he also came out during like Fresher set, maybe? Like, I want to say I was at Rolling Loud early in the day. Yeah. I did catch some sparsely attended sets that Fabio Foreign just like imposed himself upon. So that song came out like sort of towards the end of the summer.
Yeah.
Let's listen to Big Drip. As clean a version as we can muster.
Fisos.
Be me and Swag.
Wow. Whoa. Whoa.
Cali, man.
El Guapo.
Hey, yeah. Q. In the spot. Perk head. What about?
Big G Kation. Bow.
Spot.
Bow. Bow.
In.
Hold on.
Look. Yeah.
Show to your daddy.
Baddie.
She try to add me.
You cannot add me.
She cannot hide me.
No.
Little mommy, I'm married.
Mommy, I'm married.
If you keep it singing. We can all be happy.
What?
You can pose a picture. But you better not tag me.
Better not tag me. Better not tag me.
Winning. Looking for him. Spinning.
Ay.
Demons with me. Sinning.
Ay.
Bust it up. Walk away grinning.
Cloud bow.
Winning. Looking for him. Spinning.
Spinning.
Demons with me. Sinning.
Sinning.
Bust it up. Walk away grinning.
Ay.
Big drip.
Big drip.
I fell in love with a lip.
Ay.
Crip sh.
Ay.
She wanna suck on the suck on the.
Ay. Ay. Ay.
Couple suck it lit with.
Couple.
That song came out kind of towards the end of the summer. It's punchy. What's your vibe on Fabio?
I think punchy is a good way to describe it.
Yeah.
It's like very catchy, energetic. He's all about like the energy. In somewhat like pop, it's kind of like less what he's saying and more about how he's saying it.
Yeah.
And I feel like one of the best ways to gauge just like how much these Brooklyn drill rappers are resonating is how big are their leaks. And and Fabio Foreign's leaks are like, they're almost just like normal records by this point.
Yeah.
Like he has this one that's called Deli that he's been like hinting at for like months that is pretty much just like already just like a big Brooklyn drill
just like,
record.
Like a local classic.
Yeah. And it hasn't even been like officially released. And Fabio's, like, I remember a couple of weeks ago, I went to the show at King's Theater where Pop Smoke was supposed to perform, but he didn't show up.
In the same way that the Rolling Loud thing happened, like, I don't know for a fact, but I'm of the mind that that was a continued NYPD thing.
Yeah. That show ended up just being Chef G, Fabio Foreign, and then a couple of, like, P&B Rocks in there, you know? He showed up.
No comment.
And I remember when Fabio Foreign comes out on the stage.
Yeah.
And you would think like it was like the MJ hologram, the way like like people were standing on their like chairs, people were dancing in the aisles.
Oh man.
And people come running from like at the overpriced King's Theater concession just, like, stands, run, just streaming to the stands. And
oh man.
There's really like a special energy around Fabio Foreign, like in the way he relates to like the Brooklyn scene right now. And it's really that Big Drip record, and there's multiple others just that have taken off, just like Waka and Critical, and people know the words to every, he doesn't have that many songs. There's a Tory Lanez one, like that I won't speak on.
We have mentioned Tory Lanez twice on this podcast. Yeah. I want to say this is a strategic error on our parts. We both failed today.
Yeah. But there is like a special energy around Fabio Foreign right now.
When we were talking about pop, we were kind of identifying like it's not about the words necessarily or even the production. It's about the mayhem and the kind of like the tonality and like, oh, it's about to really pop off. I don't feel like Smooth Owl has that. I don't think 2-2-G's has that. I don't think Chef G has that. But I think Fabio has that in like a slightly like refracted way. I don't hear the signature tone of his voice, but like the energy is the thing, the kind of like the volume, the intensity, the, as we said before, the punchiness, like that is the thing from record to record that kind of like you buy into and then you keep revisiting over and over again.
Yeah, it's like chaotic in a way.
Yeah.
Even if you watch like the Big Drip, like music video, pretty ridiculous music video, just him and like downtown Brooklyn, just like mobbed out.
I know, like they're like by the pizza place by the water in Brooklyn Heights.
Yeah, they're outside like Shake Shack over there.
Yeah,
like,
it's so strange.
Like all the Pratt students, like what the hell is going on? Like,
it's a very strange location because I don't think all of it is filmed there. Like, unlike the Welcome to the Party video, which is filmed at the gas station in Canarsie. Like,
yeah.
I remember I like found it on Google Maps because I was like, which Bola Market is this? You know, I was like trying to track down the location. So, you know, that's like in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
It's weird that the Big Drip video is like filmed like where the tourists hang out. A little strange.
I don't know why that was a decision, but I'm not sure which neighborhood Fabio Foreign comes from. He's a little bit more like, he just seems just like not rooted in any specific place.
That's fair. We should have the Popcast live event on the scene of the Fabio Foreign Big Drip video. Like we should just like set up chairs.
I wish.
That's okay.
Invite me to that one.
I will.
And so I don't really know like where he's rooted, but I think that's part of like the appeal of that video too.
Yeah. Like the thing about the Welcome to the Party video is it feels so like cloistered and of that space, like of that neighborhood. Whereas when Big Drip comes on, like anything could happen.
Yeah.
And that's like the disruption of them just like mobbing out like in this neighborhood. That's just like basically where tourists go to like look at the Manhattan Bridge or look at the Brooklyn Bridge.
Yeah.
That kind of like push and pull is like pretty interesting. Yeah. I thought
and Big Drip, that video, that's like somebody from Brooklyn's idea of like a great summer day, just at like a pool party, just like people dancing, just causing some sort of chaos in downtown Brooklyn. And where Welcome to the Party video just seems like Pop having like his normal ass day.
Totally, completely regular. Like just dancing, doing the kick dance in the gas station. Mm. There's one other thing we should talk about the sound of drill and the way that it's going to live on and continue to mutate, which is that other people are starting to gravitate towards it. Obviously, you have two producers, you have 808 Mellow Beats, you have Axel Beats, who are making a lot of the records that we have talked about and have become popular, and other people are starting to tap them. And so obviously you have, of course, who else? Drake,
yeah.
So let's listen to a little bit of War by Drake.
I don't cop things for resale, don't do iCloud, don't do email. Feds wanna tap up man and wire man like Chubbs did detail. Back when Ricky was doing up Teasdale, I was doing dinner with Teezy. I didn't trust no one, swore gal limey cause gal too greasy. Nico never move Nike, sweatsuit Nike, sweatsuit DG. If man get beaky, ring ring, call up Gigi, do him up neatly. Used to look up to a man from certain ends with tune on repeat. Thought he was a bad boy then till man got pinched and man went PC. Man went PC just like Dell and Windows, some man bindos. Before I was ever around Kendos, I was in Enzo dreaming up Enzos. The woman I do end up with has to be a bad gal just like Munchie. Can't have no pretentious ting when I know this road gets bumpy. Word to the broski J, he got different names in different countries. Three whaps and a whip and we beat that case.
So War is a recent Drake Lucy that came with a video that involved, was it like snowmobiling?
Yeah.
Or like
snowmobile and skiing.
Skiing. He had like good goggles, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
It's like very, the lighting is like all very like nighttime shoots. So anyway, this is it's a classic kind of like mid-2010s Drake Lucy.
Yeah.
Just like very high production value version of it. So this is Drake rapping on an Axel Beats production. It should not come as a surprise to anybody who listens to Drake or to Popcast or to anything that's happened in North American popular culture in the last 10 years that if there is an interesting micro movement happening in hip hop, that Drake will find a way to absorb it, become part of it, etc. It's interesting that he did it this time strictly with production, not with collaboration.
Yeah,
I sort of was wondering about that, and I wondered if, does that song sound differently if Pop Smoke's on it? Does that song sound different if Fiveo's on it? You know, I don't know, but it's interesting that he chose to just do it from a production perspective, I thought.
I think there are like snippets floating around with Drake and Fiveo. I think that was Drake's main entryway into Brooklyn Drill was Fiveo.
Yeah.
Like I remember reading from Axel Beats that Drake had heard Big Drip.
And yes, then, and one of the other songs as well.
Yeah. And then hit him up. But Drake has been somebody that has loved UK drill.
Yes.
And he's a big fan of like the Heady One and the OFB rappers. And so it really comes like as no surprise that Drake likes Brooklyn Drill because for years he's really been up on the UK scene.
Unlike a lot of the artists we've been talking about in this episode, Drake's style is like forever malleable. He's like a total chameleon.
Yeah.
So it's not surprising that he could find some kind of way to apply what he does on sounds like this, which don't sound anything like any other Drake song.
Yeah, it really doesn't sound that far off either. It just puffs out the chest a little bit.
Yeah, exactly.
He's ready for the Top Boy soundtrack, you know?
Hey. So obviously, Drake is able to do that because he's talented and savvy. I don't know if I can hear Meek Mill, Kendrick Lamar, DaBaby, Lil Baby. Which one do you think could work?
I don't think it would work with any of those. The rappers that we've had try their hand at drill so far haven't been like the best ones. Like it's been like Rich the Kid and not to mention Tory again, but it just doesn't feel the same.
Yep.
When they hop on a drill beat, and that happened with Chicago too. It really was something for Chicago rappers at that time. Like unless it was somebody they grabbed to feature on a track, that the production didn't sound the same when it went the other way.
I'm looking at like the top rap, hot rap songs right now. Roddy Ricch, I don't think so.
Yeah.
Actually, it's mostly just Roddy Ricch. What drill does sonically and aesthetically and emotionally is so different, I think, than what's happening at the kind of center of the genre right now.
Yeah.
Like, I'm glad Drake, like, checks in with it and, like, wants to, like, amplify it somewhat. But do you think there's a likelihood that the sound can become bigger or more pervasive than it currently is?
I think it could, and maybe in, like, certain elements of it. Like, especially where we look at, like, Travis Scott or somebody like that and the way he's
able to. Must we?
I mean, Travis Scott, if you want to give him credit for anything, he's good at taking parts of something.
The universal recipient.
And just, like, intertwining it into something else. So I could see Travis Scott just, like, stripping, like, an Axel production and using maybe just like the drums or just using like the bass or just using one of those like garage type melodies that they like sample sometimes. And I feel like in that way, I could see it affecting a lot of hip hop.
What Pop Smoke song that we haven't heard do you want to hear as we go out?
Let's do Flexing.
All right, let's go back to Flexing. Pop Smoke, July 20th, 1999 to February 19th, 2020.
Look, take it off. Look, all of them, you I be flexing. I did 15 on my check-in. Been a little bit time when I'm stepping. Do 38 for the weapon. All of them, you I be flexing. I did 15 on my check-in. Do 38 for the weapon. We gon' hit him in finish and nobody innocent. If you ain't dead, better lay down. All of just give us innocence.
That's our show. Thanks to Al Pierre for coming through. Appreciate you, bro.
Thank you for having me.
Listen to every podcast ever at nytimes.com/podcast. Subscribe to podcast anywhere you get your audio content, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, etc. Email us at podcastnytimes.com if you want to chop it up. And also, the Facebook group is alive and jumping. Search for it on Facebook. I don't know how to give you a Facebook link, but just type in podcast. You'll find it. It's getting loose. Thank you, as ever, to Pedro Rosado, our producer from Head Separate Media. We will be back next week.